Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the very top of Daf Chof in Krisus. You'll notice a triangle at the very beginning of the line. This is part of a series that started during our last shiur, a series of questions that are raised against the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel mentioned, and we in this context are not going to go over all of the details of our previous shiur in order to appreciate what we are going to be learning today. It is very important to be quite familiar with what we covered in our last shiur. So it will be sufficient for us now just to use the term misasek, and the hope is that that is very clear what we mean. Shmuel's approach to the issue of misasek was that misasek b'Shabbos is potter. And it appeared from Shmuel that all cases of misasek would be potter, even cases where your intention was to do something forbidden, and you ended up doing something else. The action that resulted was also forbidden, but not that which you planned. If, for example, a person was standing in front of two trees or two vines, and one had black grapes and the other had white grapes, and he intended to cut off a black grape and ended up taking a white grape. That would be a case of misasek, and that's a case of misasek b'Shabbos, and that would be, according to Shmuel, that would be exempt. We have a long question that opens up today's Gemara. By the way, as far as Shmuel is concerned, it could be that he goes so far as to saying anything that results which was not according to your original plan, that would be exempt. And not limited to the example that we gave. We gave you an example, but there are other examples. Just the rule of thumb, anything that results that was not that which you planned to do would be exempt. Before actually learning the Gemara inside, we want to draw your attention to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Omer Aleph. So if you have that available, it's worth looking at the Mishnah. In that Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri appearing in commenting on the Machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer was the stricter of the opinions, where if you did an action, even though you're not aware of exactly what you did, but it's a chiyuv chatos, in other words, you planned to do one action that would have resulted in a chiyuv chatos, or let's say you were in doubt as to what the result of your action was, but either way, it would have been a chiyuv chatos. Rabbi Eliezer says you bring a korban chatos. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, says that there is no obligation to bring a korban chatos unless it is clear what your offense was. Now, in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Shizuri point out that there is no machlokes on something that is what's called shem echad, which would be two trees and of the same variety, and you're simply not sure which tree you picked off of. Everyone will agree that there's a chiyuv chatos. When is there a machlokes? So in the Mishnah they had said the machlokus will be on something that is called davar shehu mishum shnei shemos. Now, what exactly is meant by shnei shemos? So that we'll have to wait and see a little bit more about that, even though we spoke about this already in our previous shiur. In the same Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda comments, he says, Afilu niskaven lilkoit te'enim velikeit anovim, anovim velikeit te'enim, shchoros velikeit levonos, levonos velikeit shchoros. A case of the black and white that we mentioned before. Even if his intent was to cut shchoros, and he ended up cutting levonos, Rabbi Yehuda says that would be a point of machlokes. So you have in this Mishnah Reb Shimon Shazuri saying that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua on something called Shnei Shemos, and Rabbi Yehuda says that a case like Shchoros, and where he intended to cut off Shchoros, and he ended up cutting off Levonos, that would be a machlokes. That we're all saying by way of introduction or background for the sugya at hand. So we now turn to the Gemara at the top. Mosiv Rav Hoshaya, Rav Shimon Shizuri, Rav Shimon Omrim. This is again a quote from the Mishnah on Yud Tes. Loi nechleku al dovor shehu mishem echad shuchayav. There's no machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua regarding two items that carry with them the same name, the same title, the same variety. Elo alma nechleku. When is there a machlokes? Al dovor shehu mishum shnei shemos. Something or a situation where there are two identities or two titles, two names that are in front of him, and he intended for one and ended up doing the other. Shirvilezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Now, that is as far as a quote from the Tanaic source. V'Rabbi Yehuda maiko omar, de pligi, b'niskavein lilakeit anovim velikeit te'enim shchoros velikeit levonos. What was Rabbi Yehuda's intent when he said that there will be a machlokus between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua in the case of intention to cut off grapes and he ended up cutting off figs, or black ones, he ended up cutting off white ones? Anovim utenim shchoros levonos maybihu. What are those? Shnei Shemos. Are they not examples of Shnei Shemos? Well, Hainu Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Well, if that's the pshat, then he is redundant. He is simply saying over exactly what Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri already said. Rabbi Yehuda may also lashminin. So then what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to tell us that we wouldn't have known already? Elolav, rather it must be misasek iko binayhu. That the point of difference between Reb Shimon Shem Shizuri versus Reb Yehuda is the issue of Misasek. Reb Yehuda Savar Misasek Chayov. Reb Yehuda would be of the opinion that Misasek would be Chayov. In other words, the intention to do one thing and the result being different will carry with it a Chatos obligation, which is unlike Shmuel, and hence we've dashed underline that. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Savri, Misasek Potter, they will hold that Misasek is exempt. Intention to do one thing with a different outcome, that would be exempt. And by the way, when we see here the issue of Reb Yehuda saying that Misasek would be Chayav, we have to explain how this fits into the Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So if we look in the Rashi at the fourth line from the top, Elolav, Misasek, Iko Binayu, Dishame, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, he had heard them, the Uki Plukta, that they set up, or the Ukma Pluktayu, that they set up the Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the Ovad Malaket Miliboy. The case of someone, then we had discussed this in our previous shiur, where someone had an original intention to do one thing. When they were about to execute their intent, they forgot what their original intention was, and the outcome actually checked out matched with the original plan. So that was the case of Ovad Malachit Miliboy. Avol, b'misasek, divrei hako potter. But as far as misasek, they would say, they mean Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Shazuri will say that Reb Elozer and Reb Yeshua will agree that that is exempt. The Osa Ihu, Lemeima, Reb Yuda comes along and says, Afilu niskave v'chule, have misasek. Hoyu ube isor nisasek, pligi. Umechayev Reb Eliezer. Reb Yuda comes along saying that the case of misasek, where the intention to do one act which is forbidden, and you end up doing another act which is forbidden, will be chayev. Even Rabbi Yeshua, who seems to be lenient, that's only when the outcome is a different shame, has a different title or different label than that which you intended. But when it comes to an intention to do something, and the outcome carries with it the same title or the same name as that which you intended, even Rabbi Yeshua would say that that is chayav. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, within the realm of misasek, all Tanoim will find grounds for saying chayav, which is not like Shmuel. Shmuel said a blanket across the board's exemption for all cases of misasek. And so at this point, we see the problem, the kasha on Shmuel. The kasha on Shmuel is, if we focus ourselves, is coming from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, holds that misasek is chayef. The Gemara answers, loy. Not so. Misasek divrei kol poter. Everyone will agree that misasek is exempt, like Shmuel. The hocha, the ha komifli, we have a new geometric form. And under our Mivneh heading on the outside margin, we feature the house marking. These represent Shnei Tshuvos, two responses, ala kushyo hashlishis al Shmuel, regarding the third question, which was the triangle that we had at the very top of the page that we labeled kushyo number 3. We have here two answers. Matras ha-tshuvos hi, the purpose of these answers is lahasbir machloikis, Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Shazuri, Al Rabbi Huda, their machlokas, Rabbi Huda versus the Rabbi Shimon's, Be'ofen Shaloi Chokim B'Misasek. Whatever we say, we want to make sure that it comes out that there is no machlokas regarding Misasek. Rather, they argue regarding something else. De'bozeh, because regarding Misasek, Lukhule Alma Potter. Everyone will agree exemption, which is favorable, of course, to Shmuel. Lefi number one. So here we proceed to give a little bit of a introduction to the answers the Gemara will give. According to answer number one, machlokes beinyan avad malakit milibo b'shem echad, the case of the person who forgot, had an interim lapse in, you know, lapse in memory and forgot what his original intention was, when it comes to shem echad. The Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon's, Lekulei Alma, that's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Chayav. And the Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, only Rabbi Elazar is Mechayav, and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, will say exempt. According to answer number two, the issue will be a question of order. That's Likdam Iko Binayu, where you intended for both outcomes, but the order was ended up getting switched. Avo misasek delo niskaven elo laachas v'osos hasheni l'kulei alma poter. But the classic case of misasek, where you intended for one thing only and a different thing resulted, that everyone will agree is exempt. Now to the Gemara. We're focusing now on the house. The Hocha B'Hokum Mifliki. The Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Sofar, they are of the opinion. Ovad Malakit Miliboy B'Shem Echod Divrei Hakol Chayov. Ki Pligi, b'shnei shemois. If we look at Rashi, Ovad malaket milibo b'shem echad shineskavi l'teino zu v'shochach. A person intended for a particular fig, let us say, and he forgot. There was a lapse in memory. Kosover teino achiras asmuchala bo'ino. He thought that he needed to clip or to cut off a neighboring fig next to the one that he originally needed to take. So he planned to take, we'll just use as our example, right hand and left hand side. He originally intended for the right hand side fig, forgot that he needed to take the right hand side fig, and as he was about to cut a fig, he thought that he needed to take the left hand side fig. V'holcha yada al rishona, and he ended up physically clipping the right hand side fig. Divrei kol chayav. Everyone will agree that that carries with it a chatos penalty, a chatos obligation, because he intended for the right hand side originally. The od kisheshochach machshavoso lo choshav ela ba'oisoi min atzmo. And a second reason, additional reason for this carrying with it a chatos obligation is because even during his lapse of memory, he still was thinking about the same variety. He was still thinking about figs. B'shnei shemos, Rashi says, sh'niskaven l'teinim, he originally needed to take, to harvest figs. V'shochach v'kosover anovim bo'ino, and when he experienced his memory lapse, he thought, oh, I need to take grapes. V'hocha yodo al ha'teinim, and his hand actually moved toward the figs, which he really needed to take, and he cut off the fig. That's the point of, that will be the point of machlokes, where Rabbi Eliezer would say he's chayav achatos, and Rabbi Yoshua would say he's potter. But once again, the whole machlokes, the discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, according to the Rav Shimon's, concerns the issue of memory lapse. What needs to be emphasized, though, is that original intent and outcome match one another. That has nothing to do with misasik, and therefore Shmuel is on safe ground, where misasik lechol adeus is exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar lo ishno b'shem echad v'lo shno b'shnei shemois pligi. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even in the case of Shem Echad, you will see Rabbi Yoshua arguing with Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yoshua saying that he is exempt. However, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Misasek, everyone will hold, is exempt. V'rova omar liktam iko binayu. We will glance at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Liktam iko binayu, shneskavein lilaket zu techilo v'achach zu." He intended to harvest two items in a particular order. V'holcha yodoy al achroina, and when the action took place, it took place but out of order. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Savri. If the two items that he intended to take in a particular order, but the order got reversed, everyone will say he is obligated to bring the korban chatos. Since the two items carry the same identity, same label, same name, the soifsei trevayo ovad, and in the final analysis, he did both. And since they're both Shem Echad, there will be no premium placed on the fact that the order was changed. Keep leaking. When does a machlokis arise? B'shnei Shemos. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Chatos. Hayo ulishneim niskav v'shneim osa v'luich baslom b'maktim ha'muchar. Lezer, being the more stringent opinion, says that since he had intent for both, and he did both, we don't care about the switch in order, and therefore, that, in other words, that does not mitigate the obligation. Rabbi Yeshua Sofar Hoyul ubishas likitas kol achas viachas loy lozehu mechavein. Since at the time he executed his action, so when you focus on the action done and his intent at that moment, the intent does not match the action. And we're talking about a shnei shemois. So, havi le kimisasek upotter. He's like misasek. That is when you do this focused approach to each item on its own. So he is really doing something that he's not planning at that very moment, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua will, according to the Rib Shimon, say he will be exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Savar afilu b'shem echad pligi. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you're dealing with this issue of order, even if it's a function of shem echad, Rabbi Yeshua will be lenient. Avol tamihani loma potar. But I personally, says Rabbi Yehuda, says I am kind of amazed at how even in the case of shem echad, when he simply switches the order, Rabbi Yeshua will be so lenient as to say there is exemption. Since he really did have intention for both items. Avol, and here is the main point for our sugya as in general, that b'misasek be'alma shelo niskaving elo le'achas, in the case of misasek where he had intention only for one of the items, below asa'a, and he didn't do that which he intended, he also eschaverton, he did his action on the other item, de kule alma poter, everyone will say that that is exempt. The Gemara goes on and says, v'ha tanya, this is an example of a brisa brought in to support that which we just said, namely that the issue of order plays a role. And that's how Rashi phrases it, this v'ha tanya siyata de chayshinon lemuktam umeuchar, to show that we pay attention, that there is an element of importance that we assign to the issue of order of things, namely where a person intended to do both actions, both items, and he did both items, and simply the order came out different than that which he intended. The source says, Hoyu lefonov shtei neros dolkois. A person had two lit candles. V'niskavein l'chabois es zu, v'kibo es zu, and he intended to extinguish one, and he ended up extinguishing the other. L'hadlik es zu, v'hidlik es zu, or there were two candles that were not lit, and he intended to light one, but ended up doing the other. These are two cases of misasek, these two cases. That's why he's exempt. So you have the first case of l'chaba zazu v'kiba azu. That's the case where you had the two lit candles, and he ended up putting out the candle that he did not originally intend to put out, or he needed to light a candle, and he lit the candle that he did not intend to light. That's exempt. L'hadlik v'l'chabois. The kibo v'hidlik. Here is an issue of order. Hence, you can see we've labeled this section of the source with Roman numeral number 2. Section 1 was within the realm of misasek. The section 2 has to do with the issue of order. He needed to extinguish one and to light one and extinguish the other, and he ended up the kibo v'hidlik instead of the order of lighting and putting out, he ended up putting out and then lighting. So, b'neshimo achas chayav. If it's in one breath, so he will be chayav. Because there was no delay in time. It was in one breath that the order got reversed. B'shtei neshimos poter. If it was in two separate breaths, then he will be exempt. B'neshimo achas chayov, pshita, in one breath, that he's chayov, that seems to be obvious. So mahu the tamo, I might have thought lo is avid machshavase, his intention didn't take place. The whole lahadlik mikora boy ubesof lichbois, he intended originally for the first one to be lit and the second one to be put out. V'chi ovad maise kiba ubesof hidlik, who, and when it came to the actual performance, what took place was the extinguishing took place, and then the igniting followed. V'ema potter, and I would have thought that he should be exempt. Komash malon nihid abdumi lo makdim, granted that it didn't take place earlier or first, achuri nami lo ma'acher, it also wasn't delayed because it all took place with one breath. So we see from this source that the issue of order could have meaning, as we saw in the case of the extinguishing and igniting in two breaths, where he intended one order of events to take place and the opposite took place. Tonu Rabbanan. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance at the topic heading, the Nosei. Hachote Gecholim B'Shabbos. Chote usually means one who stokes coals. We have someone who's moving around coals in a fire. Tanakama, we will see Mechayev Echad. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok, Mechayev Shtayim. We will talk about Mavir, causing them to ignite, and Mechabe, extinguishing. Tonu Rabbanan, the Gemara, and we have a Tanaic source, as you can see, a frame around four lines. Hachoite Gecholim B'Shabbos, Chayov Chatas. Rashi, on the third line under the Gemara, says, Hachote hamimale kelim mitzibur hagecholim, someone who is filling up vessels from a pile of coals. And it seems that he's removing coals from a pile and to carry them off somewhere else. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, back into the Gemara, says mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok chayav shtayim, that for this action of taking out coals from a pile of coals, he's chayav two offenses. One, mitnei shu mechabe es ha'yonis, and two, umavir es ha'tachtonis. He is extinguishing the upper ones and causing the inflammation, the burning of the lower ones. Here we need Rashi to add to our understanding. Rashi says, Mechabah Elyonis, She'achshav Nasis Tachtonos. When he digs into this pile of coals to remove coals, the upper layer now turns into the bottom layer. They tumble downwards. The kavu machmas hamasa shel elyonos, and as they tumble down, they fall underneath the new upper ones. So they go out. They become extinguished. So that the upper ones, the original upper layer, tumbles downwards and finds themselves under a pile of coals. Now they go out. Umavir hatachtonos shekvuyos machmas hamasa shealehem, the lower layer that now becomes exposed. Now, because it's exposed to, it's not under a pile of others, and there's, probably oxygen circulation now, they start to burn. Ukshehen achshav elyonos nis ba'aros, and now that they become the upper surface, they start to burn. So that, as we said originally, when you have a stoking action in the case of a pile of coals, there's a changing in position. An upper layer that was originally burning becomes lower, and a lower layer, which was originally extinguished, now starts to burn. Now the Gemara. B'mai askinon. What are the circumstances that are behind this source? In deka michvin l'chabos u'lahavir, if this person's intention is for both in extinguishing and igniting to take place, my time of demand the potar. What would the reason be for the Tanakama who says he doesn't say he's chayav two, only mentions chayav only one. Ela, the lo komechavin lahavir. So you have to say that he didn't have intention for the burning of a coal. Well, then my time of demand the mechayav tarti. If he had no intention, so then what would the opinion be to explain Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok, who says he's chayav two? So, to explain this source, we have a series of answers. You'll notice we have this volcano shape, or trapezoid form, and under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have featured this shape and said and remarked, Sidra Shel Hezberim L'machlokes Tanoyim Hanal, a series of answers or explanations for the Machlokes Tanoyim. So we turn back to the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Chanina, V'ami Trevaihu, they both say, Kegoin Shniskavein L'chabois Ha'elyonos K'dei L'ha'avir Es Hatachtoinos. This is a person that needs extinguished coals. But it is a known phenomenon that in removing coals from a pile, it's inevitable that the lower layer, which was originally put out, which was originally not burning, will start to burn. He doesn't need them to be burned, but without this taking place, the upper ones would not have gone out. The Tanakama Kosovar. The Tanakama is of the opinion Mekalkel Bavora Potter. The lower level that starts burning now is in effect which he doesn't need. He doesn't need them to burn, so the burning ruins them. That's called Mekalkel. It's a ruination. But it's a ruination through burning. That's called Mekalkel Bavora. But since it's Mekalkel, it's Potter. It's not a constructive activity. And therefore it's exempt. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok, Omar, Chayov, V'chein Omar, Rebbe Yochanan, they say he is Chayov, and Rebbe Yochanan says likewise, B'napoch Shanu. We're talking about a blacksmith. A blacksmith, for his work, he needs extinguished coals. And their opinion is that Mekalkel B'chavora is Chayov. That's the point that needs to be emphasized for this first approach. That even though it's Mekalkel, but since it's within the realm of burning, there are two exceptions. In our previous shiur, we spoke about Mekalkel v'chabura, a kilkel that happens, destructive activity, but the result is a flow of blood. Or now, the other example of Mekalkel b'havara, two examples of Mekalkel that, contrary to all other cases of Mekalkel, these are chayev, or at least you have an opinion that says Mekalkel Bavora is chayev. That very point is the controversy between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok through the eyes of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Chanina. Omer Rebbe Yirmiya, Ad Kan, Lo Nizgalsa, Taimo, Shel Halacha Zu. Up till now, until I heard this explanation, I didn't have an understanding. I didn't understand the basis of this machlokes that we saw in the Tanaic source. Ami bar Ovin, Rabbi Chananya bar Ovin, the Amri Trevayu. Now you see we have a number two. They are a second approach to explain the machlokes in the source dealing with the coals. Kegoin Shiniskavein Lechabois U Lehavir. This person intended for both actions. He wanted some coals to go out and he wanted some to burn. And still the Tanakama says he's chayav only one, namely for the putting out. He's chayav one Korban Chatas. That's quite interesting. Why, if he had intention for both, not only the extinguishing, but also for the burning, why is he chayav only one? So, the Tanakama Savar Lo K'Rav Yosi. The Tanakama, in this source dealing with the coals, we're on the second line from the top of Omid Beis right now. So we're referring to the source that we saw dealing with the coals on Omid Aleph. The Tanakhama holds, like Rabbi Yossi, that says, "The Omar Havora Lelav Yotzas." Though the Torah mentions that one must not do malachas on Shabbos, there is a pasuk that features, that highlights, of all the different malachas of Shabbos, all the different forbidden activities. The pasuk says, "Lo sivar esh b'chol moshvoisecha b'yom haShabbos," that you shall not burn fire in your dwellings on Shabbos. Why does the Torah feature the issue of kindling fires on Shabbos when it would seem to be part of the rest of the malachas of Shabbos, which are not spelled out in an explicit fashion? So Rabbi Yossi has an opinion that burning, that kindling on Shabbos, carries with it only a level of offense known as a lav, a negative command, but does not carry with it any more serious penalty. And as a result of that, it's not chayev kores. It's simply called a violation of a negative prohibition, which would be punishable by lashing, but not through kores. And as a result of that, it doesn't carry with it, when done unintentionally, a chatos obligation. As we know, a chatos is brought only when there was unintentional violation of that kind of offense that would carry with it otherwise a kores penalty. So since havora lelav yotzas, havora is the kindling, this person had intention for both actions, but only one of them carries with it a chatos obligation. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Savar Lo Rabbi Nosson, the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, who mentioned that in the coal situation was chayev two, one for extinguishing and second for burning. He holds like the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, namely like Rabbi Nosson, that says havora lechalik yotzas. The Torah features havora on Shabbos to tell us that just like havora is a single action and it carries with it its own penalty, its own punishment, so to every action of Shabbos carries with it its own single or separate punishment. And that has particular bearing in a case where a person does multiple Shabbos violations, even though it's in one state of lack of awareness, he'll be chayav for each one separately. That's called lechalek yotzos. That's why the Torah featured havora, but not to lower its significance or its severity, like Rabbi Yossi had claimed. Rava Omar lehakdim iko binayo. This is a third approach, that the point of difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Tzadok is where you intended both, but they happened in reversed order. But what took place was in reversed order. According to the Tanakhama, it took place in reversed order, and therefore he's not chayev two offenses. On the other hand, Rashi says to let him off scot-free, to say that he's exempt, that too we can't say. Therefore he's chayev for one. He's chayev one korban chatas. And Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, he doesn't place any premium or significance to change of order. The fact is, both actions that he planned took place, though they took place out of order, he's chayev for each one. Hence, Rabbi Lozer said he's chayev two. Rav Ashi is a fourth approach. Kegoin shiniskavein lechabois v'huvaru me'elehen. The person had intention for putting out the coals, but but other coals started to burn on their own. The Tanakama Savar Law Rabbi Shimon Omar Dover Shein Miskavin Potter. The Tanakama, which says he's high of only one, is because he is of Rabbi Shimon's opinion on actions that resulted without your intending them to result, and you're not even being aware that it would result. That's called the Dover Shein Miskavin.
Rashi emphasizes Shelohoyo Yodea Shesof Tachtonos Lahavir. He didn't know that the bottom ones would start to burn. Such a situation is called Dover Shein Miskavein, and one is exempt for that aspect. In other words, he intended to extinguish certain coals that he accomplished, but the other coals that he had no intention to burn started to burn. Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Tzadok, Savalok Rebbe Yehuda, Amar Dover Shein Miskavein Chayav. Rebbe Lezer, who says he's chayef for two, adopts the approach taken by Rebbe Yehuda on that topic, that says that even though you didn't intend it to result, it nevertheless carries with it a chiyuv, an obligation to bring a korban chatas. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a new Tanaic source, hechode gecholim b'shabbos lehischamein bohem v'huv aru me'alehen. Tani chada chayov, v'tani idach poter. We have someone doing this action that we referred to already up till now as chote gecholim, and his intention was to derive benefit from the heat. He is not interested whatsoever. He has no interest in their conflagration or their burning. He is interested in having the heat rise from their midst. So hence he moves the coals around, he stokes the coals, and causing heat to be emitted from their midst. But, and here is a key thing that Rashi adds, but he knows that in doing this, in emitting or in causing the heat to exit, he knows coals will burn, and he's doing this action of stoking the coals or moving the coals aside to get the heat out, knowing full well that they will burn. So he, as Rashi says, he's considered miskaving. He's considered doing the. It's considered that the burning is taking place with intention. However, it's with intention, but with lack of interest. Namely, that's not his goal. He doesn't have their burning as a goal in mind. Their burning is something he is aware will happen, but that's not his goal. His goal is to have heat rise from their midst. This is called malacha shein tzricha legufa, a malacha, in this case the burning of the coals, but their burning is not legufa, is not the goal that's intended. His action is being done in order to have heat emerge. Ha desanyo chayav, the source, the Tani Chado that we just saw, that says Chayav, Kosovra Malocha Sheina Tsricha Lagufa, Chayav Oleha. The Malocha that's done even though that you don't need it as the outcome. You're aware that it's going to happen, but you don't need it as the outcome. The Malocha here is the Malocha of Havora. You don't need it, yet it's Chayav. The ha de tana poter kosavar, the source that says he is exempt, holds malacha she'ena tzricha legufa poter aleha. A malacha, in this case the burning, which is something that you didn't need it itself. That is, even though it happens, and even though he was aware it was going to happen, it nevertheless is exempt. We now continue with the fifth perek of Krisis. This Mishnah deals with the topic of the consumption, the eating of blood. Blood in general is something forbidden. However, there are different levels of prohibition within the realm of blood. The Mishnah opens up with a series of examples, culminating with Chayovin Ola. You can see the double underline used to highlight that result. And the second series of examples will end off with Ein Chayovin Olav. the Mishnah. Ochal dam shchita, one who eats the blood that emerges at the point of the animal being slaughtered, b'vehema b'chayal ba'oif, with the slaughtering of a domesticated or undomesticated animal or a bird, bein tmein bein tahorin, whether they be kosher or unkosher variety. Dam nechira, this is blood that emerges when an animal is killed through being pierced. Dam ikor, or blood that flows when the animal's organs are ripped out. Dam, when we say organs, we're referring to specifically the trachea and esophagus. Dam hakoza shaneshama yotzebo, or blood that is released when the animal is experiencing hakoza. In this case, even though you might find this expression used in different contexts, we're talking about a blood flow, and during this blood flow, the neshama yotzebo, the life breath of the animal, leaves. In other words, if a person receives if there's a slight nick or a bruise and there's a blood flow, that's blood that flows, but it's not blood containing the life breath of the animal. There's a certain point at which, during a blood flow, in which the animal dies. So it's the blood that comes out at that point that the nefesh is yotzeboy, that the nefesh, the life, leaves, that is what we're talking about. That's chayovin olav. One will be guilty of violating the prohibition of consuming blood, and he'll have to bring a korban chatas if he did so unintentionally. Dam hatchol, dam halev, the blood of the tchol. This is blood in this organ known as tchol, sometimes translated as spleen. Blood of the heart. Dam beitzim. There are different pshatim in dam beitzim, but the simpler explanation for us to offer now, and that which will align with you, what you'll find in the Gemara on the second line from the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara mentions dam beitzim and refers to it as she'ein min basar. It's not a type. It's not a part type of flesh. So the beitzim referred to would be the blood found in eggs. Rashi says, "Shenisadnu machmas chamimus shiyoshva alein tarnagolas." It's blood that develops in eggs when the hen is sitting on them. Dam chagovim, dam hatamsis. Dam chagovim is blood from locusts, and dam hatamsis is the blood that emerges from an animal after, we'll say, after its life blood or its life breath has departed, but blood continues to drip out. That we can refer to as the dam hatamsis. These bloods ain chayovin olav. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev dam hatamsis. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that dam hatamsis does carry with it a chiyuv kores. Rashi adds, "Ein chayovin alehen kores, she'ein kores ala b'dam ha'nefesh, dechtiv ki nefesh kol basar domo hi, v'kol oichlov yichras." The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that serves as as the basis or the origin, presents the sources for which dam carries with it a chiyuv kores and which not. Now this source continues till the upper part of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Following the source, the Gemara raises a question presenting an alternative way possibly to approach the pasuk, and then responds. So the source begins, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Dam Lo Sochlu. Torah warns against the consumption of all blood. Shomei ani, I would conclude, afilu dam mahalchei shtayim, dam beitzim, dam chagovim, dam dogim, hakol bichlal. I would conclude even the blood of human beings. That's mahalchei shtayim, people that walk on two. On those, that's a reference to people. Dam beitzim, the blood of eggs. Dam of chagovim, locust. Dam of fish. is everything included in this prohibition? Now, by the way, this is a pasuk that we cited was Vayikra Perek Zayin Pasuk Chavav. On the inside margin, we've included for your convenience these psukim, and we'll just read them before we get to the Gemara, the Bryce's response. The psukim read: V'chol dam lo sochlu, v'chol moshvosichem la'oif ula behema. Kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam v'nichruso anefesh ahi me'ameha. So the pasuk Chavav tells you, don't eat the blood of oif and behema, and pasuk of Zayim says that the eating of blood will carry with it a kores penalty. So had I had just the beginning of pasuk chavav, which said v'chol dam lo sochlu, I would have thought to include all kinds of other bloods. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara goes on, three lines from the bottom in the middle, says la oif v'la behema, ma oif u'behema miyuchadim. The blood that is prohibited is the blood of that which is like oif and behema. What is unique about oif and behema? Sheyesh bohen tuma kala v'tuma chamura. Oif and behema carry with them the possibilities of tuma kala. That is a term that can be used in conjunction with tumas oichlin, food that becomes tame and communicates tuma to other food items. Tuma chamura is a reference to people becoming tame, but in this sukya, tuma chamura will also mean not only the person becoming tame, but when the person becomes tame, the clothing he's wearing also becomes tame. What else can we say about oif and behema? So far we've said oif and behema have within them the potential for tuma kala and tuma chamura. The case of tuma chamura by the animals is in the case that they become nevela, where they drop dead, where they receive an improper shechita. They are metame, in case of animals, b'masa, case of oif, there's something called tumas beis ablia. What else? V'yesh bohen isur v'heter. They carry with them prohibition and permission. Prohibition, namely, before they're slaughtered. Permission after they're slaughtered. V'hein min basar. They are meat. Af kol. So to anything else that has these characteristics. Sheyesh bohen tuma kala. So to anything else that has tuma kala. And later we'll go through the other points and see what is excluded. So to anything that has tuma kala to it, otsi. Now we've used this house shape to highlight the expression otsi, that which is excluded from the dam kores prohibition. So otsi dam mehalchei shtayim, the blood of humans, sheyesh bohen tuma chamura v'ein bohen tuma kala. Humans can convey tuma chamura, for example, a corpse or meat, flesh from a dead person that will metama others and their clothing as well, but there's no tumas ochlim associated with people. Human flesh is not something that is considered a food item, in all due respect to the world of cannibalism. Likewise, oitzi dam shrotzim, I will exclude from the dam prohibition that carries with it kores the blood of shrotzim. Why? She'ein bohem tumo chamura. Shrotzim, even though they can metama people, but they are not metama the clothing that the people are wearing. Hence, they're in this sukya, they're not called tumo chamura. Otsi dam beitzim, I'll exclude the blood that one may find in eggs. She'ein min basar. Eggs are not considered basar, so they're not like oif and behema, which were featured in the pasuk. Otsi dam dogim, dam chagovim, shekulo heter. I will exclude the blood of fish and the blood of locusts, which is totally allowed. The pasuk had mentioned la'oif ula behema. And here the Braisa deals with why it's necessary to state both. Had I had only oif, for example, e ma oif, if the Pasuk had mentioned only oif, I would have thought she'ein bo kilayim. The concept of mixing types doesn't apply to oifus. Now, what we mean by the concept of kilayim doesn't apply to oifus, that itself needs further clarification, but we'll just leave it right now, that I would think that, well, the oif characteristic is ein bo kilayim. That kind of thing has a blood penalty. Aval behemo she'ein bo kilayim. So af behemo she'ein bo kilayim. So too, when is there a blood penalty? When you're dealing with an animal that doesn't have in it an issue of kilayim, having to do with mixing different varieties. That would then open up the possibility of saying that behemos that do have a kilayim possibility, this mixed breeding or mixing of varieties when it comes to animals, would not be punishable if one consumes their blood. Therefore, Talmud Lomar Ulu Behema, the Torah spells out Behema to say that all Behema blood will be Chayav. Well, E Ma Behema, if the Torah had written only Behema and left out Oif, I would have concluded as follows. The term Eimal Abonim is commonly known as Shiluach HaKein, which is the prohibition of taking the chicks or eggs that are found in a nest when the mother bird is present. There is a mitzvah to send away the mother and only then take the eggs. So that is a bird-related halacha. Had the Torah mentioned in the context of blood only behema, I would have said, well, just like behema, which is something that's not associated or not shayach to the realm of shiluach hakein, af of the kind of bird that there's a chiyuv dam is she'eno be'ema labonim. Those kind of birds that are also not associated with shiluach hakein, for example, unkosher variety birds. That only the blood of unkosher variety birds would be prohibited and carry with it a kores penalty. Talmud Lomar, la'oif ula behemah. Therefore, the Torah spelled out oif as well to include all oifos, even those that do have a mitzvah of shiluach hakein, that their blood also will generate a chiyuv kores. The Gemara now asks, the Emo, why not say regarding this pasuk that we should read it as follows? Kol dam equals klal. Kol dam would be a general statement. Oif uvehemo equals prat. Oif uvehemo represents a particular or a specific. And when you have a pasuk set up like this, where you have a general and then a specific, that's called a klal uprat. And when you have that, we say ein bichlal ela ma'ashe b'prat, that the general is defined by the specific, and as a result, oif ubehemo in, only the blood of birds and domesticated animals are forbidden, midi achrin alo, anything else, for example, chayos, the blood of undomesticated animals, that would not be forbidden. Therefore, so as not to think that, the pasuk goes on to say, Nefesh asher tochal kol dam, chozar v'kolal. The pasuk had said in the beginning of Pasuk Chav Zayin, kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. That is a return to a general. So now the structure is klal upratu klal, I atodon elo ke'ein haprat. When you have that kind of setup, we're allowed to expand the examples and say that anything else that is similar to the example cited will also carry with them a blood penalty. The Gemara asks, and as a result of this, by the way, we are able to include chayos as well, the blood of undomesticated animals. The Gemara asks, "Vaholo domi klola basro leklola kamo." There is a that there is an imbalance in the two general statements found in the pasuk. Klola kama equals lav. The first klal was a simple negative. Namely, the beginning said v'chol dam loy sechlu. That's a simple negative, a lav. However, klola basra equals kores. The second general had stated therein the kores penalty. Kores is a more severe offense, more severe punishment than lav. Lav is associated with lashing. So when you have this type of setup, is it something that you can still, how can you darshan it as a klal uprat if it's imbalanced? So the more answer is, hai tano debei Rabbi Shmuel, kloli uproti darshinon min hodein gavno. This source that we started at the bottom of Chof Amud Beis and continued to the top is in accordance with the school of Rabbi Yishmael that says that klal uprats of this nature are darshaned as klal uprat. The afal gav de lo domi klal basra le klal kamo, even though the second klal is not similar to the first. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.